Well, guess what? Happy anniversary. Yeah, awesome. 5 years. God has done some amazing, amazing things. So as par for the course on our anniversary, we like to give our vision of what the church is about to the congregation. We springboard off of Proverbs 29:18, where it says this. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And so we want to have vision. My desire is to share the church's vision, this church, this congregation, our vision of where we've come, where we are, and where we are going in this next year. And I'm reminded of the fact that church sometimes, some church can become mundane, can become run-of-the-mill, can become typical. And I ran across this story about this gal named Gladys who was visiting a church one Sunday. The sermon seemed to go on forever and ever, and many of the congregation fell asleep. But she liked to meet new people, so after the church, she walked up to a very sleepy-looking gentleman, extended her hand in a greeting, and said, "Hello, I am Gladys Dunn." And which the man replied, "You're not the only one, ma'am. I'm glad it's done, too." That was last Sunday right here. No, I'm just... So it's a very important day, and I pray that none of you brought your pillows or your Dramamine or any of that other stuff. This is our 5th year anniversary, and what I want to do is impart to you the vision. When you look around and you think about the fact that God has done this in 5 short years, it's amazing. It is absolutely amazing. You know, I shared with the Wednesday service crowd, you know, when I got out here and began to try to start church, first of all, I hadn't a clue what I was doing. And I told the Lord that, and I told my family, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to start a church. So I just started teaching, and things got really rough and got very difficult. And I almost gave up. I almost quit. I almost left. Here and to never return. And the Lord said, "No, you're not leaving." And I was like, "Okay." Anyways, my life, I mean, it got really bad and just under tremendous spiritual attack. But God said this very early. He said, "Listen, Randy, I'm going to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or think." And what happened is time was passing through, you know, 1 year passed and 2 years passed. And you know, I was telling everyone, "Hey, God told me he's going to do exceedingly abundantly." And then 3 years passed, and then 4 years passed. And I was like, okay. I even talked to a pastor friend of mine. I told him all what God had told me. And he said, "Well, Randy, maybe you didn't hear from God." And I started to believe him. But I'm going to tell you something. In this last year, God has done exceedingly abundantly more than I can ask or think in my marriage, in this church, in you people, in my friends and family. So I can call that pastor back and say, "You didn't have a clue, brother. God told me, he promised before I left Houston that he was going to do something really great. And I didn't do this. He did it. I'm hanging on for dear life." I'm just reminded of Psalm 100. I love the Psalms. If you talk to my family, I could go to Psalms every day. I love Psalms. Psalms 105 says this, "For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. His faithfulness to all generations." And he has been faithful. And so today, we want to impart to you our vision, the vision that God has given to me first and that I've shared with those who have come on board and now follow that same vision. First of all, if you come here and you don't know what our vision statement is, there's always a church has to have a vision statement. Ours is twofold. The first is easy to remember. It's worship, win, disciple, send. It's 4 stages. First of all, like we did today, we worship the Lord. not just in song, but in obedience. Then, after we've worshiped the Lord and been empowered by God to go out, we win the lost. We see converts being made, new believers being birthed into the body of Christ. Then we disciple those who are saved. And then we send those who are equipped. That's our goal, is to worship, win, disciple, and send. And our vision verse is Ephesians 4:12. For the equipping of the saints, by the way, you are either a saint or an ain't. So prayerfully, every one of you is a believer in Christ. If you're not, we will give you an opportunity to accept Christ at the end of service. But it's for the equipping of the saints. That's any believer. You know, it's funny. You see these churches that have, like, you know, St. Peter and St. Paul. I get that. I understand. But when it's like St. Victor, I was like, I don't remember a Victor in a St. Jerome and all the. Anyways, here's the fact. Any believer, any Christian is a saint according to the scripture. So equipping the saints, that's y'all, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's beautiful. And so our goal here at HBC, worship, win, disciple, send, and to equip the saints, that's y'all, for the work of the ministry, so that the body is edified. Because each one of you has been given, once you get saved, once you say, I'll accept Christ, you receive spiritual gifts. But you don't find out what those gifts are until you start operating in the Spirit. And the best way to do that, the only way I know to do that, is to serve. And so what I want to do is I'm going to show you about 7 videos this morning. And each one is going to talk about different ministries, but we're also going to talk about why we have these ministries. But the first video I want to show you is just some testimonies from people who have been blessed by the worship, win, disciple, send of HBC. Go ahead if you guys want to run that.
HBC has totally changed my life. It has really brought me in to know God.
Well, I think it's been a place where I've grown.
I see that the Holy Spirit is what started in me and it started in them, is continuing to do that good work.
Ever since I started coming here, I've changed a lot as a person, and I feel like I have gotten a new start in my life.
Praise God, I love it. I've never been so happy in my life. I'm blessed. I have a fantastic church family.
I love it. It's the love. It's just the love. It's awesome. It's a Bible teaching. It's educational. And the people, it's awesome. It's the love.
It's great.
Fantastic.
Hey, we're going to go. Hello, we're going to go. Wait a minute. Hey, we're going to go meet. First time here. We're going to love them. We're going to let them know that they are welcome. All right. We're doing it. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. We came here and we've seen the love from this church. The most awesome things have happened since we've been coming to this church. And we just love it.
I think the congregation and the fellowship and being accountable to one another. And plus the firm Bible teaching from Pastor Randy keeps you on a firm foundation and a footing.
We love it. We've grown so much due to coming here and listening to Pastor Randy. We have grown a lot. This family has grown tighter and tighter and tighter.
They welcomed me. I was able to get to know everybody very well. I just came to God. I just came to Him. He came to me. This best thing ever.
The Spirit of Christ is always here. And I feel it every time I walk in this building and I walk out of this building.
For me, it would be the challenges. The challenges Pastor Randy puts out just makes me think, and draws me into a closer relationship with God.
That Koinonia Fellowship has been really important to me here, and I felt it from the beginning.
I am absolutely blessed to be a member, to say that I come into this searching word and hear a man of God who brings the word 24-7, 365, but mostly on, definitely on Sundays. Oh, he brings the word. I'm happy. I'm blessed.
That's y'all. That's testimony. Listen, people can argue about all kinds of things, but the one thing they can't argue with is lives being touched, lives making a difference in people's lives. And that's our goal here at HBC, is to make a difference in each one of your lives. And here's the thing, it's not up to me to do that. It's up to us to love each other. The Bible says that they, the unbelieving world, or even unbelievers that visit, will know that we are his by our love for one another. And of course, we know that Jesus set the example. How? By washing the feet of his disciples. And so that's what we are to be doing, is we are to be washing the feet of each other. And I don't want you to take my shoes off. But that's a spiritual example. You know, by serving in ministry, we can wash the feet of each other. We can refresh the hearts of the saints, as it says in Philemon. We can do that, and we should be doing that. And as I do that, the blessings that I receive is that I find out what gifts I have. If I would have never served in the first place, and I started off in infants, and when I first got saved, I served 3 years in infants ministry holding babies. And I'm not a baby guy. I'm just telling you. If you ever see me hold a baby, you know I ain't a baby guy. I don't even know where to put my hand. You know, it's like kind of, baby. It was like, okay. But I did it for 3 years, and I changed diapers. And then from there, God moved me to ushers, and then from there to worship. From there, sound of life, then on and on and on, and here I am, a pastor. But in all of that, he was chiseling away, taking away things that he couldn't use, and building up and giving me spiritual gifts that he could use. And so who knows how God wants to use you? And you'll never find out until you serve. Now, you might say, well, you know, I'm too young. No, you're never too young. I'm too old. Hey, you better go tell Moses when you see him. He was 120 when he got to retire. How about that retirement plan? And on it goes. And so the main thing is, that all of this, all of those testimonies, and there's many, many more. In fact, I tried to, you know, keep it to a minimum, but there were so many, it was hard to pick. But all of that happened by washing the feet of the disciples, each one of us being Christ-like and being humble enough to serve in a ministry. That brings us to our next video, which would be the ushers, the guys that greet you on the way in, and the kitchen ministry, which provides the munchables for fellowship. And check this out.
Hi, I'm Barbara Probst.
Hi, I'm Joey Bidosh, and we are overseers in the kitchen ministry. We provide the snacks that we hope you've all enjoyed on Sundays after the service.
In the kitchen ministry, we have many opportunities for people to serve.
If you've been wondering what ministry you could get involved in, maybe the kitchen ministry is just the one for you.
Service, come
stop. So after service, come over to the table and say hi.
Hi, I'm Butch Lage, and I'm the head of the ushers ministry for Harvest Bible Church.
Hello, I'm Gilbert Torres, and I'm going to be taking over the head of the ministry for the ushers at Harvest Bible Church.
If you can open a door like this, you can become a part of the ushers ministry.
If you can smile and hand a bulletin out, you're qualified to be an usher here at Harvest Bible Church.
We'd love to have you as part of the ushers ministry.
There we go. Awesome. By the way, ladies, you can be an usher too. It's not just for the man's. The man's is. Okay. It's not just for the man's. It's not a testosterone thing. Okay. If, like they said, if you can open a door, now I know normally, and Butch, both Butch and Gilbert said, I don't think I want a lady open a door. Men are, you know, that shivery thing, you know. But anyways, you can hand out a bulletin and you can give hugs and greet people. So you can be an usher as well. One of the things that you'll never see an usher doing here at HBC is passing a plate. You're never going to see that. Not because if a church does pass a plate, they're wrong. No, that's fine. It's just the call that God put on my heart and the direction God has led me is not to put a plate to be passed. And the reason for that is sometimes I see people that really exaggerate as they're putting it. They want everybody to see that they're putting money into the plate. Then there's other people who are feeling tension. Well, if I don't put something in, oh gosh, I'm going to look like, you know, I don't love the Lord. I'm going to look like, you know, like I'm poor. I am. So, you know, one, some people take it as an opportunity to buy their stairway to heaven, and that's not biblical. Others use it as others feel the obligation and the tension, and that's not enjoyable. So we believe what 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says. It says, God loves a cheerful giver. And the word cheerful in the Greek is hilarious. God loves a hilarious giver. So, you know, if you're doing it to be seen, that's not hilarious. That's sad. And if you feel tension to give and you really don't have, then that's not good either because that's the wrong heart. But if you, like the way we do it, you put the boxes back there, and if you want to put in, you put in. That's between you and the Lord. And here's what I know. Mature Christians do tend to give. You know how I can tell? This was all done without one, not one time did we ever do a fundraiser. Not one time have we ever asked for pledges. All of this was done through prayer and trusting in the Lord and people hilariously giving. So that is why we don't pass a plate, because I'd rather than come to you and say, hey, you know what? We really need money. Everybody, come on, we got to give. Instead, rather than do that, I say, hey, let's just pray. Why? Because when the king is in the castle, the servants don't worry about how the mortgage is going to be paid. The servants, their only responsibility is to tend to the king. So as I'm serving God, and it doesn't matter what the books look like, God reminded me, and he has always reminded me, just serve me. I'll take care of the castle. You just serve me. And so here we don't pass a plate. If you go to a church, if you're visiting, you can go to a church that passes a plate. Praise God. It's not that it's unbiblical. It's fine. But our heart, this church, what we're motivated, what I feel motivated to do is trust more in prayer. And so that's why we'll never do fundraisers. We'll never ask people to make pledges. And we'll never pass a plate. And so far, it's worked out pretty good. Now, as for the kitchen ministry and putting out the snacks, listen, we're not trying to all make everybody look like me by getting y'all fat. I'm not trying to do that. And I'm not, you know, getting kickbacks from the dentist down the street. Hey, give them lots of sweets. No, what we're doing is we're breaking bread. We're breaking bread together, not just in communion, but every time we get together, there's something special about sitting down and having a meal. And the proof is in the pudding. God, did you know that God loves to eat? He does. Yes, thank you. Yeah. In Genesis... I feel your pain. Because, anyways, in Genesis, Abraham cooked a Texas-style barbecue for a pre-incarnate Christ, a Christophany, in Genesis 18. In In Matthew 26, Jesus sat down and had his last what? Supper. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says this, if anyone open the door, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone open the door, I'll come in and dine. There's an intimacy about eating together. Jesus says, if you open the door, I'm not just going to come. I'm going to be so intimate with you that we'll break bread. We'll have fellowship. And then, of course, my favorite, Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where the bride of Christ, the church, is united with the groom, Jesus, and there's the biggest, most lavish, most incredible party, wedding banquet you will ever feast your eyes on or feast on. The cool part is, most incredible food, and you don't gain an ounce. Woo! Yeah, baby! I can't wait. God, it's going to be a buffet. But here's what it says in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. After the Holy Spirit had descended upon the church, it says this, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And so we, on a regular basis, have snacks there for you to linger and have fellowship, talk, and pray. We're going to start having our potlucks once a month because of the kitchen ministry. They're going to man that. Thank God for the kitchen ministry. Because I'll tell you what, there are some people in this church can cook. Oh, my God. That's why I look like this. 5 years of potlucks. No, there are some people in this church that can cook. I'm like, man, you know what? Forget. We should open a restaurant. HBC Church Restaurant right across the way. But we are going to break bread. And the breaking of bread also speaks of coming together and having communion. And so we do that. We have communion. We have snacks and fellowship. And I want to encourage you. Hey, you know what? Thank you, Kitchen Ministry, for all you do. It's awesome. Awesome. They're behind the scenes. You don't get to see them very often, but man, they take care of y'all very well. Which brings me to the next section, and that is the less fortunate out there. Now, we weren't able to shoot a video in this. I dropped the ball. I was very busy, but that's not a good excuse. So forgive me, Fruits of Harvest. Very important ministry here at HBC. Fruits of Harvest, if you didn't know, is a ministry where we supply food and clothing to people who have need. Jesus said, listen, hey, the poor you will have with you always. And that was a promise. There will always be poor. And we are to be the hands and the arms of love to supply it when we can. And so we have this awesome ministry, Fruit of Harvest. And what I love the best about Fruits of Harvest and the ladies and the men who serve in that ministry is that every person that comes in, they give them the gospel and they pray with them. They cry with them. They love on them. There's fellowship and friendship that is developed with the people. And they come here and they don't feel like they're getting a handout. In fact, we let them know we're blessed when they take the stuff. Freely we receive, freely we give. And that's our heart. And so Fruits of Harvest, I think this last year was like close to 7,000 people. Okay, 15,000? Oh my gosh, okay. There were a lot of people. I think it was like, she's like giving me hand signals. I don't know if she's landing a plane or giving me, coming in. Okay, 6,000, 7,000, whatever. A lot of people. For a little church, we've been serving thousands every year. And so that's awesome. And we have a new ministry that's kind of linked with that starting up. It's called HBC Love Line. And what that's going to be is not a singles dating service. Stop that. What it is if you're sick, you're at home and you're sick, we're going to bring you tissue and chicken soup and that kind of thing and kind of love on you. Eventually, what we're going to have is actually people will come out and help clean your yard because you're down and out. You've been in the hospital or whatever. So it's a love line from HBC, trying to show you that we love you. And when you're down, we want to be there to support you. So that's a new ministry just starting up, and you'll be informed on that as we go. But Fruits of Harvest has been amazing. And by the way, if you haven't gotten a chance, after service, you can go over there and check it out. The new area is awesome. We have this big, huge new freezer. It's big. It's new. It's freezer. It's pretty. It's pretty. You could eat off it, which is good because there's food inside. Anyways, it's really nice. And that, hey, by the way, it was donated to the church, and it's spectacular. So anyways, go look at that stuff and be praying. Be praying for those and for the supply there. And, of course, we know this. Just as that sign says back there, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. And because of that, we make sure that we have teachings going on constantly here at HBC, and it's only going to increase as we go. But with that, I'd like to show you a video for the men and the women's ministry. Go ahead.
I'm Roger Walls. I am the coordinator of the men's Bible study every Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. The Iron Sharpens Iron Bible Study. I believe men should come to the Bible study because it is such a learning experience. We go through the Bible, we pick a chapter, or we pick a book, and we go chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and it is just a learning experience for any man. One thing about learning, we all learned how to read, but a lot of us didn't learn how to study. And in the men's Bible study, I have learned how to study the Bible. And it has increased my knowledge tenfold, a hundredfold. And I would recommend that for any man who wants to know more about the Bible and how to get closer to God and do God's will. Be a better Christian. Be a better husband. Be a better father. Be a better man. Ladies, your husband could be home on Saturday morning, watching TV, mowing the rocks, watering the sidewalk. Wouldn't you rather them be here for an hour and a half, learning how God wants them to treat you better? Join us at the Iron Sharpens Iron Bible Study, Saturday morning, 10 a.m.
Hi, I'm Judith, and I do a women's Bible study on Thursday morning, 9:30.
Hi, I'm Katrina, and I do the Joy Ladies Bible study Saturdays at 10 here at HBC. Saturday mornings when we meet here together, we have coffee and snacks, and we have a great fellowship with each other, and we share the word of Jesus. Right now we're in the parables of Jesus, actually, and we just laugh, we cry, and we just love to have you come and join us.
On Thursday morning, we spend our first part of our meeting discussing what we learned this week. We have a short video, we have snacks, and we have fellowship. Hope you can join us.
Men, bless your wives, have them come to Bible study.
It's interesting. We have three ladies' Bible studies and one men's study. That says a lot. You know, I've always said that you ladies tend to be more spiritual than us men, and there's the proof. but besides that, we have another Bible study for ladies, and that's Monday night at 6 o'clock, and that's my bride. She teaches that. They're going through a book right now on respectable sins, and I've gone through a couple of chapters with her. It's really good. But after they finish that book, we're going to replace that for 22 weeks with the BCF, self-confrontation. Yeah. If you've never taken it, you want to be challenged in your Christian walk, you're going to need to sign up for BCF. It will blow your religious doors off. Okay. I, as a pastor, you know, having been a pastor for years, took the class, and I was like crawling under the table. One class, a group of us, we were just bawling because it was so convicting. If you don't want to be convicted and challenged, then don't sign up for this class. But also with that, in the next couple of months, on a Saturday, on two Saturdays, I'm going to do a class on how I study my Bible. And the second class will be on how I make an outline to prepare a study. So if you're interested in that, we're going to have that coming up. But the important thing is man does not live by bread alone. So it's not just about eating, you know, sweets and having potlucks. It's about diving in and feasting on the meat of God's word. And if you're a new believer, having the milk of God's word is so important, so important. But with that, we don't just cater to adults. We also are very concerned. Here at HBC, you know, people ask me all the time, well, how come you don't have the kids in service? Well, I'll tell you why. Because the kids in service will fall asleep. First of all, you know, I'm boring to a kid when I'm doing this. Get me away from the stage and we'll have a blast because they're my peers. But when I teach a message, I'm catering to adults, and sometimes the subject matter is a little rough for kids too. But here's more important. Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me. Let the little children come to me. And when they come in here and they're not getting anything, we've provided very, very trained Sunday school teachers and curriculum catered just for them so that they can meet Christ on their level and grow on their level. So with that, I want to show you Children's Church and Youth.
I'm Anita. I'm the overseer of Children's Church.
Hi, I'm Cecilia, and I'm the assistant in Children's Church.
Our goal in Children's Church is to bring our children up in Christ, to get to know Him and who He is and how much love He has for them.
We truly believe that God is the only way, the one way. And so the children need to hear that from us, and our teaching covers all that. We really want our children's hearts to know God and to love God the way we do.
Here in Children's Church, we have many events that happen throughout the year. Our main one that just happened back in October was Harvest Fest, which was a wonderful alternative to Halloween. We had a wonderful turnout. Many people served. They were able to share the gospel, along with our servants being able to share the gospel with the parents. We have other events such as VBS. VBS is Vacation Bible School. That is a wonderful time for the students to come together through Christ and to learn and grow in their relationship with God. Movie nights. Movie nights have been a big hit, and the kids really do love it. Plus, we're teaching them about God, and that is our main goal. Not just to have all these nice events, but to spread the gospel. And this is teaching the children how to do that as well.
As you can see, with our hats, we're kind of goofy. And we love being goofy with the kids. But we also have a serious side, and that's sharing the gospel with the children. So we want to invite you, and we will invite you. I mean, come on in, men included, women included. Come and teach the children. You'll have a great time, and you can act goofy just like us.
Yeah, we live in the desert.
Yeah, but we do come to church.
We come to hear about Jesus.
Are we not important?
Are you willing to give a little bit of your time?
Hi, I'm Pastor Pete, and I'm the youth pastor. Not anything that I chose to be. It was something that Pastor Randy asked me to be, and I really wasn't sure if I could even do it. But I have to tell you that I've been tremendously blessed to have been part of this and to be around these kids, because these are great kids. It is just powerful to be part of watching each one of them grow. I can't do this alone. We have a lot of things planned for this year. Come back to the back table and see what we're all about. So won't you help? Think about it. We have a great vision for 2015. And that vision includes you if you want to be part of it. Thank you so much.
Everyone keeps saying, come back to the back table. It's Vision Sunday. When you go into this next section, I really encourage you not to just run away after service. Take a few minutes. Every ministry has put a table together with some things for you to look at. We have our anniversary cake back there. But when it comes to the children and now the teens, listen, do you realize that the teens are under attack? They are under attack in every direction. And unless someone steps up to the plate and says, you know what, I'm willing to love them and be Christ's hands and be an example to them, these kids, the teens, the children, don't have a chance. Don't have a chance. And so here's an opportunity. And let me just let you know this, not just the youth, but in children's church, we have an opportunity where we actually need 10 teachers. We're that short on teachers. And what happens is when we don't have teachers, the same people have to serve, and they're missing out on being fed the Word of God themselves. So pray about it. See what God puts on your heart. See if, you know what, there's not a lot to it. If you can take a cup and put some goldfish in there for the kid, you know, if you can sit down and color with them, you know, if you can do that, you can help. You don't have to teach if you don't want to teach. But you know what? It's so easy to teach kids because it's the basic stories, you know, David and Goliath. And if you're like me and like to make goofy noises and goofy sounds, man, I have a blast teaching kids. And the teens, well, it's a little different. That takes a little more. But you know what? If you like to play catch or if you'd like to, you know, encourage some young ladies on how to be godly, how awesome would that be? What a way to invest in another person and share the gifts God has given you through salvation. So I think I'm out of order on my videos here. So let's see what the next video is. It'll be a surprise to me.
And I'm Wayne, and we do door-to-door ministry.
If you've never done door-to-door ministry, I just want to let you know how easy it is. When I first went out, I was nervous about going out, and I wasn't sure either. But if you can knock on a door, if you can walk, if you can write, you're eligible for door-to-door.
You know, you don't have to be afraid to go out door to door. Everybody is a little bit apprehensive at first, but you're walking with a group of people. It makes it easy, and you're doing what the Lord says to do. If you look at them like they're people in a burning building, it gives you a vision that you can follow, and it'll encourage you internally to want to reach out to these people. It's just a matter of one step at a time. It's just doing it.
We go Sunday after church, and since you're already here, it makes it easy.
And we go on the first and third Sunday of every month.
I think it's exciting when new believers raise their hands or come forward on Sunday.
And we have new believers packets that have a Bible and other things to help them with their new walk.
In this ministry, we have the privilege of giving the packets to the new believers
that come forward on Sunday. And we invite you to join us.
Oh yeah, I remember. Door-to-door witnessing, evangelism. Someone once said that I don't know enough. And then someone else said, well, you knew enough to get saved. You know enough to believe, don't you? Well, then you know enough for someone else to believe. Share what you know. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16 says, woe is unto me. Woe, in other words, watch out, look out, horrible. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And I like what Wayne said about just picture them in a burning building. What would you do if you walked down the street and your neighbor's house was on fire? Well, I hope they make it out all right. I guess they're sleeping. I don't want to wake them. They're sleeping. Yeah, I know how my neighbor loves his sleep. No, what you do is you break the window. You do whatever you had to do to at least let them know that their house is on fire. Listen, everyone who's not saved, it's worse than having your house on fire because there's a way of escape from that. Well, there's a way of escape from hell, too, and it's Jesus Christ. He is the door. He stands at the door and knocks. And so if you've ever thought, you know what, I'd like to go, but I don't know how to do it. You listen, I've had people, I've done it for many years, door-to-door. I've had people that walked with me when I did door-to-door, and they just simply prayed, and they just simply took down the notes for 3 or 4 weeks before they had enough courage or felt like they could do it. But then once they did it, wow, look out. Like Miriam, the first time she went, she didn't know what she was doing. Now she's a dynamo. It's like, hold her back. She won't even let me come anymore because she's like, I need to do that. No, I'm just teasing. But, that's the first and third Sunday. You know, what better way to learn to expand your faith by sharing Christ with others? So now we're going to move to another section of ministry. Let's watch this.
Hi, I'm Barbara, and I oversee visual multimedia for the services.
Hi, I'm Andrew.
Hi, I'm Patty, and we're Barbara's assistants.
Yeah! We don't all have to be as eccentric as our leader.
Okay.
Okay.
I need oxygen. Okay.
But if you want an opportunity to come serve with us, come on down and see what it's all about.
Okay. You know, not all of us really look like this. I know it's a little wacky right now, but that's what we try and do back in multimedia, is have a touch of wackiness for God.
All you have to do is learn a little bit about typing on the computer, if you can type a little bit, or you can even use a finger.
If you can do this, you can serve in multimedia.
And as we look around at everybody raising their hands and praising God, it's just awesome.
Come join us.
But you'll have to dress like that. No. No, I you know what? I love the fact that the ministries here at HBC, you know, they have fun. By the way, we did some bowling last night with my kids, and there were four little kids over here bowling, and all the adults were over here, and every one of the little kids beat me. I had the lowest score. What was my score? 30. Okay, you know what? I can't do everything, all right? But you know what? I was so proud of those kids, and a couple of them laughed at me, and it was great. But you know what? Jesus said, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. But this is a very important ministry. All of this that you're seeing is they're just pushing one button. Of course, it gets set up and all that, but if you say, well, you know what, I can't usher, I can't walk around a lot, or this. You can sit right there through the whole service. You don't miss a service, and you can be doing multimedia, and we have opportunities for that. We also have a new ministry where we're recording the messages onto CDs. So there's all kinds of opportunities. We have one more video to watch before we get to our last section of
Michael, and I'm the overseer of the sound portion of the multimedia ministry. Have you ever seen one of these in our church or another place and thought that it was terribly complicated? It really is not. there are just a few simple things that you have to pay attention to, but most of these rows duplicate the same thing in each row. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. In the sound ministry, what we really do is we try to blend all of the elements of the services, videos, the voices, the instruments, seamlessly, so that nobody knows anybody's doing anything. We try to make it all sound effortless. We don't always accomplish that goal, but that is our goal.
It's dramatic. We're not going to make it. We'll never see the light again. But I will keep on going till the end.
When God uses the sound ministry, the message is powerful, the worship is powerful, and everybody is fed spiritually. There are many opportunities to serve in this ministry. We need somebody to cover every service. So if you're interested, intrigued, or you think you have an ear for music, please see me.
Harvest of Praise Worship Team.
Hi, is worship important in your life?
Do you like to sing or play an instrument?
Are you blessed when you come to church and praise the Lord?
How about praying that God would lead you to join the worship team?
What?
Are you blessed when you come
to your faith?
No.
Oh, that's okay. Awesome.
You might be thinking, wow, you know, our worship team is awesome. And they are. Mikey, man, who can play like that? Well, the ladies... The ladies, they sound incredible. The drums, the bass, the keyboard, everything sounds so great. Well, not really. It's the sound man. No. No. They are very good. They are very good. We are so blessed. But listen. There is opportunity for you to join the worship team. Let me tell you why. We have to go to two services. And so in about 2 weeks, we're going to go to two services. I will be announcing next week what the times will be. So if you won't be here next week, call before you come, because we're going to be going to two services. Now, here's the thing. They're going to need a break. So if you play an instrument, if you thought, "Well, I'd like to," why don't you pray about it and pray about going back there and signing up for the worship team? It would be awesome to have two worship teams. Plus, by the way, we have a full-on service on Wednesday. I don't know if you know that. But we have a service. I spend just as much time studying as I do for Sunday. We have worship. Now, right now, we don't have a worship team to lead worship. So it would be awesome if we had full-on worship. By the way, we do have childcare on Wednesday. And so I'd like to personally invite you to come and experience Wednesday night service. In fact, I remember when I first got saved, I couldn't hardly make it through the week without getting a midweek boost to get me through to Sunday. So... we could use more people in the sound ministry. We can teach you. A lot of times we just need someone to mute and unmute channels. And so if you're interested in doing that, please pray about it. Pray where God wants to use you. It's so important. So real quick, before, you know, in this last few minutes that I have remaining, I'd like to shift gears a little bit and answer some of the more frequent questions that are asked by people. First of all, people ask, at HBC, you have a dress code? Yes, we do. Wear clothes. Put something on, brother. You coming to church. But listen, I don't know if you've noticed. One day I'll wear a suit jacket. The next day I wear a hoodie. One day, you know, I'm wearing, you know, some shoes. The next day, tennis shoes. Listen, God cares about your heart, not what you, you know, we can look great on the outside and be rotten on the inside. In fact, Jesus said that to the scribes and the Pharisee in Matthew 23:27. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. You look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, full of dead men's bones and every unclean thing." Now, that's not to say if you dress up to come to church, that no, no. If you have a clean inside and you go, you know what, I just want to dress up for Sunday, then dress up. But if you want to come in shorts and flip-flops, come in short and flip-flops. We're more concerned with your heart than what you look like on the outside. And so what is our dress code? Wear clothes. Okay. What kind of church government is there here at HBC? Well, I'll tell you what kind of government we don't have first. We don't have a congregationally run church. Now you go, oh, how can that be? Well, listen, I dare you. I challenge you. In fact, I've challenged other pastors who have congregationally run church. Can you show me in the Bible where that works? Because every time the congregation is deciding what direction they're to go, it's always bad. Look, I just take a peek. Every time the congregation, the crowd, the masses are deciding which direction the masses are going to go, the masses always end up going in a bad direction. So we are not a congregationally run church. And people say, well, I should have a vote. You do have a vote with your feet. If you don't like what God is doing here, you're welcome to go to another church. I don't get offended. You know why? The Bible tells me this, that all believers are one body. We are just one fellowship. We're not, oh, they're not the body of Christ and we're the body. No, the church down the road and the church down the road and the church, they're all, if they teach the Bible, there are brothers and sisters. We're part of the same body. But here we have this fellowship and this fellowship. This is how the direction we're going. So what kind of government do we have? We have a Moses-style government. In Exodus, Moses was leading, and what he did was he lifted up, God told him to raise up elders, and the elders were to support him. Moses was the model for the elders. However, the elders were to support Moses and not actually have like an overruling, arching rule. Listen, when you have too many heads, that's a monster. Multiple heads is a monster. There should be one. Just like, hey, how many presidents do we have? One. There's one president. None. Oh. Okay. This is the house of God, and God has anointed every authority that there is. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for his salvation. And yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. Also, I was zooming. Sorry, I forgot one ministry, and you know what? God forgive me. Cleaning ministry. We have a big church. Thank you so much. We have a very big church now for the number of people we have here, and they come in on Wednesdays and they clean. They clean. You know why it's so nice in here? Because we have a cleaning ministry who takes care of it. I'm right away, when I think of having the church clean, I think of 1 Kings, where chapter 10, where the Queen of Sheba comes to see, because she's heard about Solomon's wisdom. And she comes to see, to hear his wisdom, and she asks all the questions to Solomon. But she doesn't recognize his wisdom. It says, then she saw how his servants were dressed and how the entryway to the house was and the entryway going to the temple and the way the table was set. She saw his wisdom in that. And so I take that to heart. And so here at HBC, we try to make everything look as good as we possibly can. Not because we're trying to portray an image, but because this is God's house and he deserves his house to be better than my own house. And so if you're interested in cleaning, they do that on Wednesday mornings. And if someone says, well, you know, I can't do it, then we can make, you know, a Saturday or something if you want to help. But there's always opportunity to clean. Thank you so much. But as far as going back to our leadership, our government here, we have a Moses type. God gives Moses a vision. Moses is leading. People trust him. If Moses were to go in an ungodly way, then the people would rebel against him. But as long as they recognize that he's being led by God, they follow. You get the same thing with Nehemiah. You get the same thing with Joshua. You get the same thing over and over in the Bible. God calls one man to one vision. He leads, and then God puts it on people to follow. So here's the thing. If you see the vision that we're following and you see that we only do what's in the Bible and only what's in the Bible and that's not for you, okay, I don't get offended. You're still my brother. If you come back 2 years later and want to visit, I'm going to love you just the same. And I'm going to ask you, how's the church over there going? We'll pray for you. Give me the name of the church and we'll be praying. I don't take it personally because I didn't build this church. I don't sustain this church. God does. And so what kind of government we have? We have a Moses-type government. We have a Nehemiah-type government. We have a Joshua-type government. We trust that God gives a vision. Okay, Pastor Randy, as a church, do we support anybody? Because we got people that are tithing and giving. Shouldn't the church be tithing as well, giving and blessing? We do support. And we take from Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Here's the verse. It says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. That's our verse. So, our Jerusalem. Back there on the wall, we have who we support, our mission. Our Jerusalem, that's our local area. We support JYC, which is we go into the junior high school and we teach junior high school teens. Students about Jesus, and it's awesome. Last year, they tried to get it off the ground before we went in there, and no kids show up. We started, and kids kept coming, and now we're up to about 26, 28 kids. And, yeah. Some of them are here today, which is awesome. So that's our Jerusalem. Our Judea. Judea being the Jewish nation. We support Jews for Jesus, Pastor Richard Hill, and we're gonna have him out here to give us a prophecy update in the next couple of months, probably right after Easter. So that's our Judea. We want to support Israel. We support them financially, and we most importantly support them with our prayer. And so God says he will bless those who bless Israel, and he'll curse those. So we bless Israel. And we support Israel. Our Samaria, that's our local area outside of Jews, outside of Judea. We support Angel Manor in Kingman that's open to anyone, Jews and Gentiles. And now Angel Manor has gone from one house for ladies to two house for ladies. And now they've opened a house for men. So it's growing, and it's your prayers and your support that is allowing people who need shelter. And everything is Christ-based. So that's our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and then the ends of the earth. We support K.P. Yohanan and Gospel for Asia. If you've never read any of his books or met any of his people, it is so Christ-based that it's unbelievable. The amount of the funds that go to the ministry and not just a lot of places you support, they're paying staff, and a lot of the staff are well paid and all this. That's not how Gospel for Asia works. It's a very different way. So that's who we support, and I recommend you go back there, look at the poster, and pray for those people. Okay, another question is, what is HBC's membership program? I like the church. I love the worship, like the teaching, love the people, love the cookies, the great cookies. I want to become a member because I want that endless supply of cookies. How do you become a member? Well, I'll tell you how. You give your life to Christ. There is nowhere in the Bible that speaks of any church, first century church, ever doing a membership program. Not one. So we don't do a membership program. You want to get now, if you're saying, I want to get more involved, get plugged, well then sign up for a ministry. Then you become a close-knit body member and an active body member. But if you come, if you walk in here on Sundays and you plan on coming back next Sunday, you're a member of this body of Christ. And we encourage you to get saved. Just joking. prayerfully, you're already saved. But to serve is a way to get connected. Malachi chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Listen to this. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day when I wake up my treasured possession. I will spare them as a man spares his son who serves him. Then once more you shall see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked. Watch this. Between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve God. That's not my words. That's the word of God in Malachi. He says that the difference between the righteous and the wicked is who is serving and who isn't serving. Why? If you're a Christian, that means you're Christ-like, and Christ said, I'm a servant. And so many people don't have the time for God because he's just not worth your time. And so, of course, finally, what is our ultimate goal as a church? Our ultimate goal is to be a life-saving station. That's our ultimate goal. To have the gospel permeate and pulsate from this facility outwardly. You know, we could grow a big church of replants of people from other churches. And if you are from another church, that's fine. But what we want to see along with that is a multitude of people giving their life to the Lord. Last week we had 3 people give their life to the Lord and about 6 or 7 rededicate their life. That's a wonderful thing. And that's what we want to see. 1 Corinthians 15:1 says, now I would remind you, brothers, that the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered you as of the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scripture and was buried, and he was raised on the 3rd day according to the scripture. We believe that wholeheartedly, and we believe that's the only way for someone to get saved is through the cross of Christ and the death and burial and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to leave you with 2 more things, and I know we're going a little long this morning, but it's important. I want to tell you a story about 4 brothers, and here's their names. One was named Everyone, one was named Someone, one was named Anyone, and one was named No One. They had a very important task to do. Everyone was sure that someone would do it. Anyone could have done it, but no one did it in the end. Someone was angry because it had been everyone's job, but everyone thought that anyone could have done it, but no one realized that no one will do it. In the end, everyone was angry with someone because no one did what anyone could have done. But if Jesus were here, he would do it, and he would tell you to follow in his footsteps. So we've given you our vision, and it's been said that this is what vision is: the capacity to create a compelling picture of the desired state of affairs that inspires people to respond, that which is desirable, which could be, should be, and which is attainable. So a godly vision is for the right time, for the right church, and for the right people. A godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. A godly vision motivates people to action. A godly vision requires risk-taking. And a godly vision glorifies God, not people. And so here at HBC, all we want to do is glorify God and be the people who serve him and bring him glory.